The Gospel of John and the 6th chapter. John chapter number 6 and the first verse. And after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because of miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." There was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." Father, I pray that you would add your blessings upon the reading of your word and your blessings upon this message. Lord, as we have already prayed today, I ask and I petition that you would move in someone's heart and change someone's life. I pray in Jesus' name, and amen. You can be seated. It is interesting that as we have been moving through the Gospel of John, it is interesting that this story of the feeding of the 5,000 is the next story in the timeline of the Apostle John. I say that it is interesting because between the healing of the crippled man in chapter number 5 and the feeding of the 5,000 in chapter number 6, the Lord gives one of his most famous sermons. It is what you and I refer to or know as the Sermon on the Mount. But John doesn't deal with that. That's interesting. In that sermon, Jesus discusses things like tithing and praying and judging. In that sermon, we read the Beatitudes and the Lord's Prayer. But John doesn't give us any of those. He just skips over it. I believe John does so for the purpose of moving us along. The Sermon on the Mount had already been written. It had already been circulated. John's purpose was the purpose of providing and proving the fact that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. And he only chose those stories that supported and furthered that claim. And the feeding of the 5,000 was one of those stories. I've always loved the story of the feeding of the 5,000. In this story, Jesus feeds the multitudes. It is a wonderful picture of how a little bit in the hands of God can go a long way. And can I stop here and just rejoice for a moment and say I'm glad that a little bit in the hands of God can still go a long way. Aren't you glad for that? It is also a wonderful picture of the way that God is capable of taking a willing heart and transforming it into a miraculous work. Now, if you'll follow the Gospels, you'll learn that Jesus has been teaching all day the Sermon on the Mount. And after a long day of teaching, the multitude comes to him and they are hungry. And when they come hungry, Jesus asks his disciples what they should do to feed them. Now, I won't spend a lot of time here, but it is interesting the response of the disciples as you study the Gospels.
The first solution they come up with, how they're going to deal with this hungry multitude, is they would probably be better off just sending them away. The first solution. What are you going to do to feed them? Well, the best thing we could do with them, Jesus, is just get rid of them. If you could just tell them to go home, that would be the best solution. And don't we know that it is oftentimes easier for us to try to avoid our problems than deal with our problems? When we see a mountain, we would rather just go around it than go over it. Amen? If you could send them away, that'd be best. Jesus said, that'll never do. And so they began to think about it, formed a delegation. They took a vote, and they said, well, the next best thing we can figure up is we could take up an offering. Let's do that. Baptists are good at that. Let's take up an offering. But even if we took up 200 penny worth, it would not be enough to feed this crowd. So maybe even an offering's not a good option. Finally, option number three comes from Andrew in verse number 9. And he said, there is a lad here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But what are they among so many? This option comes from Andrew. He's been going through the crowd, and he discovers a young boy with a little lunch. He has packed 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, but even Andrew doesn't think that's a good option. What are they among so many? That's not a good option. And the final solution comes from Christ in verse number 11. Jesus said in verse number 11, he takes the loaves, and when he had, and I marked these words, I'd like for you to do the same, and when he had given thanks, Jesus takes what is offered to him, he blesses it, and he uses it to feed the multitude. The solution that Jesus comes up with is, let's just pray about it, amen? And a miracle takes place. Well, we all know the story, and I won't take too much time today, but there are 3 things that I want you to see from this familiar passage. And if you'll allow the Holy Ghost to speak to your heart with them, I feel like it could be a blessing. If you're taking notes, I want you to write 3 things down. First of all, I want you to write this down. Write down that willingness is more important than worth. Willingness is more important than worth. Look at verse number 8 again, please. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Notice the value that is placed on the boy and the lunch in verse number 9. Here is the description. There is a lad here. He is nothing but a little boy, and he has nothing to offer but a little lunch. As I said, it seems as though Andrew has gone through the crowd looking for someone that could share something that maybe they brought with them to the sermon this day. And while searching, the best he's able to come up with is a little boy with 2 fishes and 2 little pieces of bread. John tells us that this little boy had packed his lunch for that day, and he was the only one that had come prepared. Notice with me the little lad, or the willing lad is the way I'll say it this morning. The willing lad. When Andrew finds the boy in verse number 9, he asks him, would you be willing to share your lunch with Jesus Christ? Now I'm just imagining here, maybe I could be wrong, but I can imagine the boy's surprise when he looks and one of the disciples is coming in his direction. There's a lot of people here this day, and Andrew is singling him out in the crowd, and I wonder if he is a little surprised that one of the disciples would come and talk to him. I wonder if there was a little bit of doubt in his heart when Andrew said, son, would you be willing to share what you have with Jesus? He's looking for someone that could help him feed this multitude. Would you be okay sharing what you have with Jesus? I can imagine that maybe he had a little bit of fear. Maybe his pulse quickened a little bit when Andrew brought him into the presence of the Messiah, and he was brought into the presence of Jesus, he's a little surprised, and he's got a little doubt and a little fear. How in the world could Jesus use someone as little as him, with as little to offer as he had to offer? How could Jesus use someone like him to feed this multitude? What the little boy did not know is that Jesus knew when he set out this day that the little boy would bring a lunch, and with a willing heart he would offer it to Jesus, and Jesus would take what was offered to him and he would do a meal with it. The Bible said that when he asked Philip, how are we going to get enough bread to feed him? He already knew what he was going to do. How many of y'all believe that Jesus knew everything? He knew the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. If we believe Jesus knew everything, then we must agree that he knew these people would be hungry. He knew they wouldn't have anything to feed themselves with. And he knew that the only thing that would be brought this day was a little boy with a little lunch. But that was good enough. He was going to do a miracle with it. Hey, Jesus knew this. This little boy probably wondered, how could Jesus use somebody like me? But Jesus had already planned to use somebody like him. He had already purposed to use him. All he was waiting on was for the lad to be willing to give up his lunch. Hey, Jesus wasn't interested in the size of the lad's lunch. Jesus was just looking for little boy to be willing to give it. Amen. Let me stop for a moment and say that Jesus is not concerned with how big of a thing you can offer, how much you can offer. What he is looking for today is just someone that is willing to offer to him whatever it is that they have so that it could be used in his work. Jesus is looking for willingness. He is not looking for worth. In fact, that may be the most important thing I say all day. God is more concerned with your willingness than he is with your worth. You may be thinking, preacher, all I have is a little voice. Well, all Moses had was a little rod, but with that rod, he smote a rock and water came out of it. With a little rod, he waved it over the Red Sea and it divided. With a little rod, he led the children of Israel through the wilderness. You say, oh, preacher, all we've got is a little church. Well, all David had was a little sling and five little stones. But a little sling and five little stones in the hand of a great big God brought a giant to his knees. Hey, I'm saying little as much when God's in it. You say, preacher, all I've got is a little bit of money. Well, all that widow had was a little cruse of oil, but in the hand of God, it fed her family and it paid her bills because she gave it willingly unto the Lord. Hey, all Elijah had was a little bit of meal in a little bitty barrel, but it fed him and it fed a widow and it fed her son. All Jesus had was a little fish, but he paid Peter's taxes with it. All Esther had was a little bitty voice and a little bit of faith, but it saved a nation. Hey, I'm saying God is more worried about your willingness than he is your worth. Don't let the devil tell you you're not big enough. You don't have enough to offer. You aren't good enough. Hey, I'm saying just be willing and the master can do something with you. Amen. Oh, in a few chapters, Brother Lee, a woman is going to come to Jesus and she's going to offer an alabaster box full of precious ointments. This ointment would be so valuable, it would take a year's salary to purchase it. She was going to offer something valuable to the Savior. But can I say that a little lunch with five loaves and two fishes was just as valuable to the Savior as an alabaster box full of precious ointment, because it was willingly gave for the Master's use. Oh yes, I see a willing lad. But not only do I see a willing lad, I see a willing Lord. I see a willing Lord. Matthew, in a parallel passage, Matthew 14, 18, says, and he said, this is Jesus, and he said, bring them hither. This, the willingness on the part of the lad brings about the willingness on the part of the Lord. Amen. It was Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, whenever there's a need, give all you have to Jesus and let him do the rest. Matthew tells us that when Andrew comes back with the news of the little boy with the little lunch, Jesus commands him to bring him to where he's at. I would imagine that Andrew was probably expecting Jesus to agree with him that the little lunch would not be enough, that it was not enough among so many. Andrew never expected Jesus to say, that'll work, that'll do, I can use that, bring him to me. Amen. But the willingness of the lad brought about the willingness of the Lord. If the lad was willing to share what he could, the Lord was willing to take what he had been offered and use it to do something with it. I've preached all morning to say this. You may have considered what you have to offer to the Lord not usable, not substantial, not good enough. As I said, you may just have a little voice and a little testimony and a little money and a little life. But if you're willing to give Jesus what you have, he is willing to take it and use it in his service. He said, I wonder why the Lord ain't using me. Have you offered him anything to use? Because if you're willing, I promise you that he's willing. Amen. There was someone in the crowd this day that Jesus wanted to use. It was a little boy. Jesus knew exactly how many people were there. He knew how little the boy was. He knew how little the food was. He was just waiting on it to be offered to him. Can I say that there could be somebody in the little crowd at Northside Baptist Church today that Jesus is just waiting on you to offer your lunch to him so that he could use you in his service, so he could do something with your life? It is not that you are too small or you are too meaningless. It is that you're just holding on to your lunch. And if you would get it out of your hands and get it into his hands, he'd do a miracle with it. The little boy gave his lunch. He gave his lunch willingly. He gave his lunch without reservation. He gave his lunch completely. And Jesus is willing to use those things that are given to him that way. Number one, willingness is more important than worth. This is not in my notes. I'll just interject it as I move on. You know, if God was just looking for worth, he wouldn't be able to use any of us. You get that, right? None of us are worthy to be used in the master's service. None of us are worthy. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how Christian you've become. You are nothing, but God is willing to use a bunch of nothing nobodies if we just give ourselves over to him. All right. Number one, willingness is more important than worth. Number two, having correct vision is valuable. Having correct vision is valuable. Verse number 5 says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Verse 5 makes a statement that I believe is important for us to see. Verse 5 says that Jesus lifted up his eyes, and when he did, he saw a great company. Now, I think that when Jesus saw the crowd and the disciples saw the crowd, they saw. I really do. I believe the disciples saw a problem that they wanted to send away, but Jesus saw a group of people that needed some help. Jesus saw the company. He saw the crowd. I believe he saw something different than the disciples saw. It's interesting how two different people can look at the same group and see two different things. Amen? And Jesus saw something different than they saw. Let me tell you what Jesus saw. The Bible said in Mark chapter number 6, verse 34, 35, it said, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples come unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past." Mark tells us that when the multitude comes to Jesus, he sees them as a group of sheep without a shepherd. You know what a shepherd's job was? A shepherd was responsible for leading. A shepherd was responsible for feeding. Therefore, if this was a flock of shepherd, it tells me they were a wandering group. They were a group that was looking for direction. They had no one to lead them. Maybe I could say it this way and we'd be okay. I believe Jesus saw a lost group of people. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Not only were they lost, but they were tired. No doubt the group that left had been there since the break of dawn when Jesus began his sermons. Now it is late in the day, and the group is tired because of everything that's taken on that day. They were wore out from the long day, so they are lost and they are tired. I think we could say that they're hungry. Jesus said, "Where are we going to get bread to feed them?" They've been sitting there listening to Jesus all day preach. Now, most Baptists, they eat breakfast before they come to church. Most of y'all did. Some of you had a donut. Some of you had something. But most of you had breakfast. And by noon, in just a little bit of time, you know what you're going to start doing? If I'm not done preaching, by noon you're going to start thinking, he's going to have to close it. He's going to have to wind this baby down. If I don't eat soon, I don't know if I'll survive till tonight. Preacher, would you finish? Give us that last point. We got to go eat. Amen. You know don't you look at me that way. You know that I'm right. Hey, in fact, I've been preaching myself every once in a while, heard my belly growl, said we got to shut this baby down. It's time. It's time to go to Salsaritas. I'm telling you, friend, these people had been there all day. Imagine if we started this morning and I didn't let you out until sometime late night. I'd just been preaching all day. Think how hungry you would be then. I don't know if you could make it, but these people have been listening to Jesus preach all day. I think I'm okay saying they were lost, they were tired, and they were hungry. Amen. To make matters worse, the Bible says in verse number 35 that the day is far spent. Mark 6:35, the day is far spent. This means the sun is going down on the horizon. Evening time is coming, and it won't be much longer before it is night and darkness comes upon them. So here we have a group of people that is lost, that is tired, that is hungry, and that is covered in darkness. I'm not sure about you, but that reminds me of the crowd that you and I live around today. This world is like a multitude. Lost people that is tired from life. Life has beat them down and they are wore out. They are lost without a shepherd. They are lost without a savior. They are hungry. They are looking for something that will fill the longing inside of them, and there is darkness all around them. And in the midst of that climate, Jesus said, "I need somebody that will step up, give me what they and let me help the multitudes." That's where you say amen. God's looking for somebody that's willing to help somebody else. Here's the sad part. When Jesus asked the disciples what they should do with this lost and tired and hungry and dark multitude, here's what the disciples said. "We should probably send them away." Matthew 15:15, when it was evening, the disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place. The time is now past. Send the multitude away." These 12 men were probably the best men of their day. They were handpicked by the Lord. Followed him everywhere he went, listened to every sermon he gave, ate at his table, slept near him in the same house. These were the best men of their day. They were put to a test, and they failed. Do you know why they failed? They failed because they assumed they did not have enough to offer to help the multitude. 200 pennyworths, not enough. They had sized themselves up and they came to the conclusion, we are not big enough. They had determined that they could not help because the need was great and they were small. Now, I'm just going to talk to our church here for just a second and I'll move on. We are surrounded by a hungry, tired, lost world. We are surrounded by people that are hungry for somebody to love them and show them the truth. You know what will happen if we are not careful? We will decide and determine that we are not big enough to make an impact and to help them. I tell you what we ought to do. Preacher, we ought to just enjoy church. You know, my family's saved. Let's just enjoy church and let's just not worry about everybody else. But it can't happen that way. It can't work that way. You and I must be willing to give ourselves to the Lord so that we can be used in His service. All right, so I see that vision, having correct vision, is valuable. Lord, help us. One more point, we'll get out of here. Number three, write this down. The reward is worth the risk. The reward is worth the risk. Look at verse number 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. When the little lunch got out of the boy's hand and into the Lord's hand, a miracle took place. That little boy could have kept him the lunch for himself. He could have been selfish and said everybody else should have brought their own lunch. I'm not going to give you mine. He could have doubted that God would use somebody like him and not spoke up and not offered what he had. But aren't you glad that he willingly gave so that you and I could have this story today? As long as you are holding on to your life, it will continue to be little. If you, however, are willing to give to the Lord, He can transform it into something greater. When Andrew brought the boy to Jesus, he said, what are they among so many? But Andrew never stopped to consider the greatness of God. He sized up the boy, he sized up the lunch, but he failed to consider who it was that was going to do the miracle. This was a little lunch, but he was a great big God. This was a little boy, but he was a great big God. This was a great need, but the God was even greater. The situation seemed impossible, but God's able to do impossible things. Darkness was coming, but he was a great big God. They were hungry and tired, but he was a great big God. They were lost, but he was a great big God. The next time doubt says you can't witness to your family, remember, he's a great big God. When doubt says you can't afford to give to that church, just remember that he's a great big God. When doubt says you've done too much, God will never forgive you. God will never use you again. Never forget he's a great big God. When doubt says you can't commit your life, he would never use somebody like you. Just remember, he's a great big God. Doubt says don't give your all to the church. Don't get all. But remember, he's a great big God and he will use something like you. Amen. Verse 13 said, therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. There's some debate here what happened to the leftover food. I personally believe, you may think I'm wrong, but I personally believe that Jesus filled up 12 baskets and he gave one basket to each one of those 12 disciples. In fact, I wonder if he handed it to them and he said something like this. The next time you doubt, I want you to remember that my leftovers are more than you began with. How do you, now wait a minute. How do you go from 5 pieces of bread and 2 little fishes to 12 baskets full of food? It's only way, one way you get there, friend, because God's leftovers are more than you're with. You say, I don't know if I've got enough. You probably don't. But what you'll be amazed to find is if you give it to God, when it's over with, you'll have over and above what you started with. I can picture him handing those baskets and saying, I want you to always remember that little is much when you give it to me. I wonder if there's somebody here today and you've been hanging on to something. It could be something as simple as your money. It could be something as simple as your time. It could be your voice. Maybe you've not witnessed, you've not testified. Could be something as big as your life. And you've been holding out on God, thinking he can't, he won't, he wouldn't. But what you'll be surprised to find is if you just willingly give your life to the Lord, he will take you and he will do something amazing with you. I want us to have a verse of an invitation, Brother Scott. You come, you sing a song. And while he sings, if somebody needs to come pray, you're welcome to do that.